St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians from our second reading today, notes, "The mystery was made known to me by revelation." This, the way that the Lord had revealed this thing, this mystery. What does it mean, a mystery? What does that mean in our Christian sense of what a mystery is? I remember one answer to that came several weeks ago during family faith formation on a weeknight. And I was with the kids, and we were talking about the Mass and this term mystery, and asking the kids, because I'd been assured by Bridget that they'd gone over this, so make sure to ask about this. And I said, "So what does it mean, like in Mass, that there's this mystery?" And this one kid raises her hand, and I go, "Oh, sure. And she said, "Well, I think it's like some kind of creepy thing that you really don't know." You know, it's like, and there's Bridget in the back, "No, we covered this. No, and so that's not what St. Paul meant by mystery, and that's what we don't mean by mystery in our Christian faith. You know, mystery, in the sense for St. Paul and for us, is that it is some kind of truth that indeed it can be known, but never known fully, because it's a work of God. It is of God, and so it's greater than what we can totally grasp. Well, we can certainly know something of it, and we have the adventure, the blessing to keep entering into that reality more and more, entering into that mystery. As one person describes it, it's like having a hallway of a museum, but it's without an end. Yes, I can keep going more and more down that hallway and checking things out and learning more, but I don't exhaust it. I don't kind of comprehend it fully in my human capacity. And so I think mystery is an important thing for us to always keep in mind as Christians, because there are things of God that we can keep going into more and more deeply. Often at the beginning of a new year, people are rightfully taking up the idea of the Bible in a year, whether that's kind of they've got their reading plan, or Father Mike Schmitz, his Bible in a year, just like catechism in a year. And I think that is absolutely wonderful. I know in past years I've preached about doing the Bible in a year. And I think it's great to have that acquaintance with the entire Bible, to go through the entire Bible. And at the same time, it is also so good and so important to be able to go deep into the Bible as well as that broad sweep. We want to not simply just go through the Bible, boom, okay, check, I got that done. But to go into the Bible, into the depths of meaning that are there, into the mysteries that await us there. Because really, the highest goal of reading the Scriptures is to come and encounter and adore Jesus Christ. To have this encounter with Him through His sacred Scriptures, to encounter the Word in the words of Scripture. One way to, along with that, to complement that breadth of knowing the whole Bible, of going through that, one way to go more deeply into that is, I think, to become aware of and enter into the different, what are known as the spiritual senses of the Scriptures. And that's what I want to touch upon. That's something that has been cultivated in our Christian faith through all the centuries, through people meditating and guided by the Holy Spirit. And what do these Scriptures mean, and the depth of meaning and the mystery that they've discovered? That's something for us to be able to enter into as well. And so to give you an example of that, I want to look at what are some of the deep meanings of the gifts of the Magi. What does it mean that they give the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh? And I'll offer a few thoughts, and also draw on the beautiful thoughts of Pope St. Gregory the Great, a wonderful pope of the 500s and 600s, and a very gifted homilist. And we're so blessed to have his thoughts, his homilies, his sermons on these things. So diving into the mystery of these gifts of the Magi, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, what are the different meanings that are there? Well, on one level, there's kind of more like the literal sense of what's happening there, that, okay, the Magi are bringing gifts, okay? And so that's kind of the baseline, that's kind of the foundation. But what do those gifts mean in the giving of these gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh? So Pope St. Gregory the Great, he sees the gold as, well, this is something that befits a king. You know, gold is shared, is given over to kings. And so the giving of gold is an acknowledgement of this kingship of Christ. And then incense is something that, as we know, is something that is offered, you know, in sacrifice to God, is offered in prayer. And so incense is this acknowledgement of the divinity of the Christ child, this light to the nations. And then the fact of myrrh is this ointment that is used for the caring for people who have died for their bodies. It points to that human bodiliness of Christ, that he's taken on our nature, and also that he's taken on our nature to indeed finally suffer and die for us as well. And so on one basic level, the gifts point to that kingship, that divinity, as well as then that full humanity of Jesus Christ and the wonder of who the Christ child is and what he's meant to be for us. So then going beyond the fact of those gifts, interpreting them, there's also these other deeper spiritual senses of the gifts. One kind of spiritual sense is known as the allegorical sense, kind of like, what does this say about Christ, or how is this fulfilled in Christ, or what does it explain about Jesus Christ? And so in looking at the gifts that way, the gifts of the Magi point to how Jesus fulfills this great prophecy, this history of prophecy in Israel, that all the nations would be brought to the Lord. That's what our church is helping us understand by that first reading we have today from Isaiah 60, that these nations will come streaming with gifts to Jerusalem, to Zion, that there will be this. And this was prophesied by Isaiah centuries before the time of Jesus. Or our psalm that we sang looks to that as well, this gathering into the nations to the God of Israel, Psalm 72, and we sang that. And so then looking at Jesus, we see that these prophecies of how the Gentiles, these other nations, would come to Israel. We see in the Magi this, the beginning of how this is fulfilled. As these Magi from the east, they're not Jewish people, they're not Israelites, but they come and they bear these gifts and they acknowledge this deep reality of the Christ child. And that is only the beginning, because we're all part of that same prophecy and fulfillment as well. That's what our second reading from the Ephesians is about, that mystery, that the Gentiles, you know, that's us, that we are co-heirs in the body of Christ. We are co-partners in this gathering in of all peoples, this universal salvation that is meant to be accomplished through Christ. And so when we look at the gifts, you know, that opens up to us, like, wow, look at how those prophecies of old were fulfilled in Christ, and look at how we're a part of that reality as well. So that's a deeper sense that's there. Then there's also maybe two kind of moral, kind of instructive senses about what these gifts mean. And so one of those is that, yes, the Magi came and they adored him, but they also proclaimed who he is by the gifts they gave. And so St. Gregory the Great sees in that acknowledgement with the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh of his kingship, of his divinity, of his humanity, the kind of the urging for us to really have that full faith in Jesus Christ, of acknowledging all that he truly is, that incredibly he is the Son of God, the Word of God, God made flesh. He has this divine nature. There is nobody else like him. He is a divine person who has come into our existence, come into our history, comes into our lives. And he comes, though, through the incredible miracle of taking on our human nature. He's also fully human. And we can approach him also in his humanity to come to know his divinity and to know the Father as well. How Jesus says, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so that humanity of Christ is part of God's gift of himself to us. Maybe that's something we don't think about too often, or maybe in our humanity we've never engaged Jesus in his. But God makes himself that available to us. And then that gold, his kingship, that Christ indeed reigns. You know, does he reign in my heart? Do I acknowledge him as my sovereign Lord, the only one who can usher me ultimately through death to eternal life? Is there anything else that I give too much of a claim upon my life that is instead the false king of my life instead of Jesus Christ? And so looking at the gifts and what they mean about Christ then draws me into how's my faith in Jesus Christ and to want to keep growing in that. And then one other kind of moral instructive sense about the gifts is that these gifts and looking at the Magi who come bearing gifts to the Lord invite us to contemplate how we come and bring ourselves as a gift to Christ in our daily life. What can these gifts point to as different elements or dimensions of how I come and bring myself to the Lord? And if you delve into all that Gregory the Great writes, you know, he draws upon the book of Proverbs, the Psalms, the Song of Solomon, all these different scriptures to help illuminate what these gifts mean. And so it's just such a beautiful example of how knowing scripture deeply makes me enter even more deeply into the scriptures. And so this is what he has to say about how those gifts instruct us about coming as a gift ourselves to Christ. He says, "And so we too offer gold to the newborn king, if we shine in his sight with the brightness of the wisdom from on high." That we shine because of the wisdom of God on high that we live by and are formed by. The wisdom of the gospel, of the Sermon on the Mount, of the Beatitudes, of all that Christ has taught. As we absorb that and get formed by that and live according to that, we become like a gift of gold to this newborn king. And then he says, we offer him incense, that frankincense, if we enkindle on the altar of our hearts the thoughts of our human minds by our holy pursuit of prayer, so as to give forth a sweet smell to God by our heavenly desire. And so we offer incense to the Christ child, the newborn king, through our prayer and by having a holy pursuit of prayer in our lives. Prayer that comes from the altar of our hearts, not just simply external words and actions, but in my very heart given over to the Lord and offering myself in a heartfelt and devout way to Christ. You know, and then that becomes the sweet smell to God of that heavenly desire that is born within us as we are with Christ in our prayer, with God. That forms our desires for the good things of God and not sometimes the very false and fleeting goods of this life that draw us away from God. And so our very desires can be formed by our closeness to Christ. And then he says, and we offer him myrrh, if we mortify the vices of our bodies by our self-denial. Just as Jesus used his body to die for us as a saving sacrifice to free us from sin and the wages of sin, which is death and damnation, so then we are called to put to death sin in our lives, in our bodies as well, to root out those vices and not be dominated by sin. And sometimes that can feel like self-denial. I have to die to myself, and sometimes the disordered passions, the misdirected desires in my life, and that can feel like a dying to self. But I take that up because I love Christ, and I depend on his salvation and nothing else. And sometimes also that can be a dying to self to make myself a gift to others. I think we know that well in family life and in many dimensions of how sometimes I need to love people better than I want to love them, better than my preferences might dictate, better than my whims or my moods. I'm called to love better than that. That too is a dying to self, that gift of myrrh that I give to the Lord. And so you can see, you know, in these gifts, there are these deeper senses to them. There's deeper teachings, deeper mysteries that God wants us to enter into. And they're not just abstract curiosities, but they are like that guiding star. They point us to the path of living the Christian life, that guide us into salvation. And so when I read the scriptures and ponder these things, you know, it's always asking that question in part with deep trust and confidence. What does this mean for me? And so again, just to summarize, in that allegorical sense, that Christological sense, those gifts point to how there's been this influx of the nations, starting from Magi to the God of Israel through Christ, and how beautiful that I am part of that as well. I'm drawn into God's kingdom also. And then looking at those gifts that acknowledge the kingship, the divinity and humanity of Christ, yes, Lord, I want to keep growing in a deep and profound and active faith that acknowledges you in your divinity and humanity and your kingship for me. And yes, looking at those gifts and the magi that bring them to you, I want to give my life as a gift to you as well. Not just simply seeking things from you, but also making this return of love and devotion by giving that shining gold of living by the wisdom of your gospel, by that sweet incense of pursuing a real life of communion and prayer with you from the very altar of my heart, and by, yes, growing in virtue and rooting out vice and daring to love even through self-denial with that gift of myrrh I give to you of love. And so all of these mysteries are there. And just these three little words, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that's what the Lord wants to keep leading us into. And so in 2025, I encourage us, may we keep trying to go deep. There is so much more that the Lord wants to give. Honestly, there's so much more that we really need. And to keep entering into that with Christ. He's been given to us as a profound gift. The gift that we need. May we, like the Magi, then seek the Lord and endeavor to give ourselves as a gift back to Him.